crazy little one way. In my stupid hat and gloves at night, I lie awake wondering if I'll sleep, wondering if we'll meet out in the street.
This was my introduction to Minneapolis' Skyways, the Replacement song Skyway from 1987. I heard it in college, at a time of life when anything seemed possible in romance, a gift to be discovered in unusual places, like in a skyway. Maybe it's because I'm a transplant to Minnesota, but I always found the steel and glass bridges spanning Minneapolis' downtown core romantic, like a fairy kingdom suspended one story above street level. But then after college, I started working in the skyways, or more precisely, a building attached to the system, and became acquainted with the now usual complaints about the skyways.
Sucked the life up off of the street.
I think it's hilarious when you're shopping in Macy's and suddenly 20, 30 people come roaring past.
There's a lot of people moving really, really fast. It's hard to stop in the skyways.
I started to believe the rumors because, to tell you the truth, I hated my job. Finance, starch collars, ringing phones, cubicles. My attitude about work rubbed off on the skyways. But now, years later, I went back to the skyways as a reporter with the idea of producing this radio documentary. And you know what I found? History. Strong opinions, skyway culture, food, of course, art, and quite a few surprises. But most importantly, a renewed respect and wonder for the humble, the maligned, the functional skyways of Minneapolis.
Take the skyway. It don't move at all like a subway.
My name is Elizabeth Gales, and I'm a historical consultant with Hess Royce & Company, which is based in Minneapolis. Back in about 2005, a group of us here in Minneapolis and also in St. Paul were planning for the National Trust for Historic Preservation's annual convention. So we started to develop ideas for tours, and then we would propose the tours and you know, try to get people to come to the city. One of the tours that was proposed was a skyway tour. I honestly can't say that I looked at the skyways and thought, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Somebody said, well, who's going to take it on? And then I found myself raising my hand and saying, I'll do it. So I all of a sudden had to learn about skyways. Little known facts about Minneapolis Skyway System. I bet most people didn't know that in 2012, the Minneapolis Skyway System will be 50 years old. Who knew time could pass so quickly? While St. Paul can claim to have the first skyway bridge, in 1957, they called it a skywalk. The city of St. Paul didn't really have an idea about a skyway system, but in Minneapolis in 1959, they came up with a long-term plan, and it did things like envision how a future freeway might interact with downtown. Things like the giant parking garages that are along the west edge of downtown over by the new ballpark, those were envisioned in 1959, as was a skyway system. But in 1962, two developers, Les Park and Ed Baker, they developed the North Star Center, which you can still find in downtown. It's the first mega block or mega structure. And Les Park and Ed Baker really grasped onto the skyway idea. Not only did they build North Star Center, but they also owned buildings across the street on neighboring blocks. And so they created pedestrian arcades on the second floor of North Star Center. And then they built a bridge across the street. It happened to be across Marquette to Norwest Bank to connect to the banking hall. So the first bridge is 1962, and that's going into Norwest Bank. So by the late 1960s, there were like a total of four skyway bridges in downtown Minneapolis. You know, Park and Baker thought it was going to take off a lot more than it did. Other people were a lot more conservative about building these. Some of it had to do with the fact that they just weren't building a lot of new buildings. And I don't think people were willing to alter existing buildings for whatever reason. What really changed and made the Minneapolis Skyway System popular or helped it expand was the IDS Center, specifically the Crystal Court. Philip Johnson and John Burgee designed the building. It's considered one of Philip Johnson's best works. It's really quite something when you start to look at it. They were asked to design this space that would help people interact. And I think part of it was Johnson looking around and seeing these skyways and thinking, what an interesting idea. And, you know, how can we make it better? And so, you know, you can get into the IDS on all four sides via the skyway bridges, and they all bring you into the Crystal Court. And what makes the Crystal Court great is that you come in on the second level, but it's open, that lovely open courtyard, and right away there's an escalator that takes you down to the first story. And in a lot of the Skyway buildings, I mean, North Star Center, if you've been in there, it's very small and cramped, which kind of shows how old it is, you know, as far as the Skyways go. And you can't figure out how to get out of the Skyway. I mean, you can only stay in the Skyway. You cannot go down to the first story. There may be an elevator bank to take you upstairs, but it's not intuitive. The Crystal Court is. Everybody's there, from the homeless people to the executives. Everybody's in the Crystal Court at some time during the day. So it's, you know, it's actually a slice of downtown Minneapolis life.
My name is Jack Byers, and I work for the City of Minneapolis. I manage the preservation and design section in the Department of Community Planning and Economic Development. You know, it's kind of hard to do in the Skyways, but if you can, it's really worth it to just stay still in one place for 15 minutes, a half an hour, and just watch people. And it's amazing the little nuances that you see. One of the things that really struck me was to go with the flow, or just walk through the system with the rush hour crowd at lunchtime. Just kind of walk around in the Skyway, you know, with everybody else, you know, and watch them. And then you'll realize as it starts to become, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30, it dies off. The place gets a little lonely, and you might see folks coming out to polish the brass on railings or on the glass doors, that kind of thing. You know, some folks come out for coffee. I would say in Minneapolis that happens a bit more, that folks come out for something in the late afternoon, but then not a lot, and it kind of dies off again. But at rush hour, it really starts to pulse again. And if you stay with that crowd, you'll see that it dies down. And then somewhere around 6 o'clock, for me, I always just felt crestfallen and lonely because everybody was gone, you know, and the place is just kind of empty. Stores are all shuttered. And then you're just in this sort of crazy carpeted glass world of nobody.
Well, I'm Beth Elliott. I am the Downtown Sector Community Planner for the Department of Community Planning and Economic Development at the City. You know, you hear it called Skyway, Skywalk, Bridge. It's basically, in most cases, a private way for people to get across public right-of-way, but up above. A connection for commerce. We really like the skyways to be used for business, interaction, connections between business. People in Minneapolis have a love-hate relationship with skyways. You've probably heard that. We appreciate the skyway system for many reasons, but we like to control its expansion to make sure that people are on the ground too, walking on the sidewalk, activity on the sidewalk.
My name is Ben Oz. And I'm a partner with City Desk Studio, an architecture firm here in Minneapolis.
Bob Ganser.
And I'm Christian Dean, the other partner of City Desk Studio.
This skyway that we own actually crossed 5th Street in downtown Minneapolis. It connected the original J.C. Powers and Penney's department stores. It was removed from downtown when the light rail system went in a number of years ago, and it was given to the University of Minnesota. They were going to use it. They couldn't use it. They put it up for auction through their email system, Skyway for sale, closed bid auction. We couldn't imagine that it was anything that interesting. It was a beautiful vintage mid-70s skyway designed by Ed Baker, who was one of the first architects of skyways in Minneapolis. We saw it as a beautiful building. I mean, right away, it was already disconnected. It was sitting in a field, and it was beautiful to us. We thought, this is a building. It's not just a hallway. And we threw an offer in. We were the only bidders. So we could have gotten it for next to nothing. We got it for nearly next to nothing.
These are some of our real early studies. Two different versions of a cabin idea on the North Shore. It's like a timeshare cabin, which we designed even down to packages of
weeks,
appliances,
yeah,
and things like that, and how many weeks you might get if you bought a share. This was an idea. We had seen this. It was a temporary ice warming house structure that would go up on Lake Calhoun seasonally, and we thought, God, what if they had something permanent out there that could be used as a really cool restaurant with the skyline view pavilion in the summer.
There.
We also had this First Star Plaza Park over near Rice Park in St. Paul. We knew from previous work that they were planning a cafe at some point, or at least it was thought of, considered on that site, and we thought, well, this fits perfect for that spot. So this is an idea of a park building in St. Paul.
Well, it is for sale. The Skyway is for sale.
Yeah, we have a couple places they can find the Skyway on the website.
Yeah, but citydeskstudio.com.
You know, and it always seems like there's always new restaurants opening up. Right now, we're right next to the Fair School downtown, going up in an escalator, and then soon we'll be heading over to the LaSalle Plaza building.
I'm Sarah McKenzie. I'm editor of the Southwest Journal, and the journal now serving downtown in northeast Minneapolis.
So this is an amazing cookie shop. Cookies and more. We actually, I think, have one of our stories that we did right up here. The smell is incredible, isn't it? How can you not, you walk by here and not be tempted to stop? And then just one more skyway away to a little... Yeah, this is the Northern Lights Tea Company. Just a couple steps off the skyway here.
And we sell over 180 loose leaf teas. We sell them in bulk or by the cup. The most expensive is probably one of our like Japanese seasonal teas that only come out in the spring. It's called...
It smells really good. I can't really quite place it. It's like... Yeah, it's almost kind of a grassy, smell.
Buttery sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
they're mm-hmm.
really good.
It seems very smooth.
My name is Joan. Joan LeDuc now. It was Linscoop. My grandfather, he owned it. Linscoop's. Well, we've been in the North Star, then we've been in TCF, and now we're here, and this is our last place. Come on in. We're in the back room where I do my designing, and that's John Moorhead there, and that is Dick Linscoop, the owner. This lady is doing a radio documentary on the Skyway. She would like to find out a little bit about our flower shop and stuff, so I told her to come and talk to you guys.
Oh, she did, huh?
Our business is a lot of commercial accounts, a lot of the big companies handling their floral needs. Customers send flowers to customers or clients for lots of different occasions. Employees need flowers for many occasions also. And then they like to have flowers in their lobbies and their offices, and we handle that too.
I am Patine Leverson. I'm the owner of Cafe Patine. I've owned Cafe Patine since 1992, basically one of the first coffee houses in Minnesota. 10 years ago, I decided to change my concept and do 100% organic fair trade coffee and do all of my own bakery and try to get people as least amount of chemicals that I possibly can get in their bodies and do everything as pure as I can. And I was a hairdresser, and I had all of these really good service skills, and I burnt out in the hair business. I lost my creativity, and I decided I could do coffee, so I went out to California and studied it. And then I came back, and I hired somebody to find a really good location for me, and we settled on this spot, and I've been here ever since. My cafe is located in the International Center at 920 2nd Avenue South, Suite 295. It's in the Skyway system. I'm the last or the first as you're coming or going from the convention center. But I make the scones every day. I make the quiche every day. I roll out my quiche crust in advance, so I just pull a frozen one out, unthaw it in the oven, make fresh quiche every day. I thought about this cookie for 2 years. Have you tried the chocolate cookie with the peanut butter on the inside? The sandwich cookie? That took me about 2-3 years to develop. I continually am thinking about things. The cinnamon rolls took me about a year to think about before I finally got going with them. People come in my store and their wallets get raided. They don't have any money. I never let anybody go without a cup of coffee. They always pay me later. And it's something that I do that another business doesn't do. You know, if you put things out, good things out, good things come back. You know, like if I give that person that cup of coffee, if I don't get the money back, that's fine. They won't come back as a customer. If they do, they're good. They're a loyal customer.
My past week hasn't gone good.
Yeah, I'm Viv Corringham. I'm a sound artist and a vocalist. Yeah, I did some work in the Skyways. I walked around for a couple of months and recorded. And then I walked around and I sang, because part of my process is that I sing in response to places. And then I got some binaural microphones, which you may be familiar with, but there's two microphones. They sit just by your ears or in your ears, and they give a very three-dimensional sound. When you listen back on headphones, it's like you're doing the walk. So the combination of getting those microphones and starting to sing on walks was really what launched my sound art career, if you can call it that. Well, I started by just walking around and recording. I walked for days and weeks and probably a couple of months, most days, recording. Then, of course, I had to listen through all those hours and hours of recording. I was doing my usual random walking and singing, and I heard someone else singing. And it was obviously a homeless man who came through the door, and he was singing very loudly, so da-da, da-da, da-da. And I had my recorder on, so I got all this. In fact, if you listen to the CD, you'll hear that, so it's great. And he's keeping up a complete stream of consciousness.
Why'd you show your head fall off? Good thing I don't have a machete tie, and I'm trying to join you, jumping out the way. They're all disgustingly ugly. They're freaks.
So he doesn't take much notice of me, but he opens the door for me. He's very polite. He opens the door. He does a sort of elaborate bow, and we have this. And I say thank you very much. I go through, and then of course, because he's drifting and I'm drifting, we encounter each other again. And he stands and he really looks at me very hard. And then again, we're both off in our worlds, and we bump into each other again. And now and now they're setting someone to follow me. He gets really paranoid and he thinks I'm following him. So I'm trying to avoid him for the rest of the day. And it's like a joke, really, because I cannot avoid this man. Wherever I go, he seems to be there. Lost in it. You're lost in these skyways and the sort of characters coming by, and you're hearing little bits of people's lives, and they're very intriguing, sometimes very sad. You know, someone walked by and they said, "My whole week hasn't gone good." And I thought, of course, it's just really, you just hear that and you really want to know why or what happened. You want to turn around and start following them, but I thought that wasn't really a good idea. So you hear little snatches of people's lives as they go past. Yeah, you hear all kinds of quite personal stuff, but just fragments. You don't know the whole story, but you just get... And a lot of them are quite poignant, weirdly. I don't know why. I mean, a lot of them are about money, but a lot of them are personal things. There was somebody who said something like, We've lost our spirit. When we were young, and then they're gone, I think we've lost our spirit.
Wow. Can I get you?
Can I get a medium cold press no ice?
You may.
Good idea.
All right. We'll get that up for you momentarily.
Do you like cream in there?
Thank you. So what's it like working in a Skyway?
It's busy in the mornings, slow at nights.
Yeah.
Completely random.
Yeah, it's really random.
Hooligans and business people like coming here.
Hooligans?
It's interesting.
So is coffee like one of the big destinations in the Skyway?
Yeah, I would say it is. I mean, I guess it depends on what time. Like in the mornings, like I said, it's really busy. So yeah.
Wait, what does busy look like to you?
Lines out the door. It gets pretty hectic. It gets pretty crazy. Like we have like 4 or 5 people working. And it's, it gets really busy, you know, around like probably like 7:30 to about 9. That's when kind of everyone started to come in and stuff, you know, a lot of suits and ties and stuff. So we just kind of stay away.
Can you tell me who you are and where we're at?
My name is Cole Ibertowski, and we are at Dunn Brothers Coffee, TCF building.
How long have you been here?
I've only been here probably about 3 months now. I worked for John, who owns like 3 different stores, Dunn Brothers in Minneapolis, and I worked for him at a different store for a while.
So is there any like Skyway story that you can share with me?
Skyway story.
Yeah.
Interesting customers, guys.
Hi.
Are you an interesting customer?
maybe. Man, I don't know. We get all kinds.
I bet you. You're one of them. You're a little interesting.
Hey there. Can I get a couple honey grain bagels to go, please?
There is an interesting lady who comes to the Skyway and sings while she walks through here. Yeah, she
sings gospel. I'm guessing she's homeless. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people. Are you from here?
Not originally, no.
There's a lot of people that roam the Skyways to keep warm. They're homeless. All day, every day. You see them all day, every day.
And as long as they keep moving, then the people don't kick them out.
Yeah.
We're
the same thing.
I see, I'm not what's interesting. The Skyways are what's interesting. My name is Jeff Beto. I blog as Zeitguy on skywayway.blogspot or skywayway.blogger.com. Back in February of last year, a couple of things happened at the same time where I got a new camera and my wife and I got a treadmill. And the agreement was that we would be on the treadmill for half an hour to an hour a night. And I hated the treadmill so much that I said, if I can find a better way to walk for half an hour to an hour a day, can I get out of the treadmill? And for some reason, it occurred to me that I could go out during my lunch breaks, walk through the Skyways, find things to take pictures of, and get my mile in so that I didn't have to work on the treadmill. And the best thing about it is, at the time, nobody else in the world was interested in the Skyways. So it was like completely unclaimed territory. Marcia and Mike showed up, and Marcia is the world's foremost authority on public art.
My name is Marcia Trainer, and I have a blog called Skyway of Love that looks at public art that's in the Skyway system just in Minneapolis. And I just sort of stumbled in to the Skyways and was really, I kind of liked being able to watch humanity kind of go by and find new places, spend a morning looking at a whole bunch of things. There's like stained glass art in the Thrivent building. There's actually an art museum on a Skyway level of the Thrivent. I found it actually the reverse of what everybody had told me. I found it like kind of pleasant. What ended up striking me is how much art is in the Skyways or very close to it. Gigantic urns by Paul Manship in one part of the Skyway. You know, he's the guy who did the statue from Rockefeller Plaza. It's like serious art that I think people have they just don't pay any attention to. That's like their daily grind. So they pay more attention to where Caribou is than the fact that these huge works of art, like the Capella building, has a beautiful glass as you come in, and some other artwork. There's a hanging piece, there's a bunch of things going on there. The Ameriprise building has like my favorite piece if you go in there, which I almost don't even want to describe because it's immense and it takes up one whole section of their entrance. It's across from where all the Ameriprise people enter every day through the security, and none of them are looking at it.
And this is Ryan Severs.
Hey, Ryan, I recognize you.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, nice to meet you.
Ryan did this video, which you have to see if you haven't seen it yet, on the Skyways. Kevin did a video on the Skyways.
Yeah, right. I saw your video.
I really love their videos.
But the most amazing thing to me about the Skyway is the fact that these Skyways are carving out a public level in almost every building that they're connected to. They're not just thoroughfares in quite a few places, spaces. I mean, just like the building that we're in now, the South Fifth Towers. I mean, this space wouldn't exist on the street. You know, if we were only on a street level, especially in the winter. I mean, like, where would we go? You know, as we're just moving from building to building and actually have that little kind of, you know, stepping out place that's not just a commercial space. I mean, but
Ryan's video is a brilliant exploration of the space of Skyway through the experience of a young girl about 5-6 years old.
Actually, she's only 2.5.
Oh, 2.5. Holy well, that's part of my... Okay.
Yep.
So she's... A 2.5-year-old is chasing a ball around the Skyway, and then there's a couple, one of whom is in a wheelchair, and Kevin's is a lovely meditation on one corner of the Skyways, which is the 4th Avenue Skyway between the Government Center and the city parking lot, where there's always musicians in the tradition of the buskers who play in the subway stations.
My name's Kevin Kirsch, and I've been working downtown for 5 years and using the Skyways. This is a really challenging climate. There's a reason why there's more Skyways here than, you know, they say, than any other place. I live in a condo where I do go into a heated garage and drive downtown to a heated Skyway, and there are times when I really appreciate that as just a convenience.
Right.
And the reason why I do like working downtown.
Right. So.
And I'm going to kind of tie this up for myself and simply say that my new little slogan or bywords or aphorism on the blog, which is constantly changing, the one that's up there right now is, in order to find yourself, you have to lose yourself. And the Skyways are good for that sort of thing.
I have to run to a meeting, I'm sorry.
Oh,
here's my card, nice to meet you guys.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'd like your blog.
I've got your credentials.
Oh, yeah, you do, okay.
I'll email you.
I'm not on Twitterverse yet, so I'll see you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'll be sure to check yours out again.
Sound art, composed by and used with permission from Viv Coringham. This documentary on Minneapolis's Skyways, produced for KFAI by Britt Ahmet.
That's much louder than I normally do.
Funding for Miniculture on KFAI comes from listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.